You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Can you believe it? It's going to be Easter soon. I cannot wait to, the production's going to be awesome. So don't miss out on an opportunity to invite family and friends to our Easter production, because it's going to be bigger and better than last year. And I thought last year was awesome. Give me a wave if you were here last year. We watched it, yes. And for the others, this is going to be an incredible opportunity. So make sure you get, you know, you get your invites in. And also we get to do the big give, which is always a privilege and an honor to do so, to give sacrificially. It does something, about our faith, and it's what we were made to do. So praise God for that. Now Glenn is in Poland right now with our friends Magda and Zibby, and KDM. Yes, I got that right. And then tomorrow he flies to Paris, where he's going to be preaching at the National Conference of AOG in France, which is going to be a real, you know, brilliant honour and opportunity as well. I know. Little jet setter that he is. So we're going to get into my message quickly, but how many of you know that preaching is not a spectator sport? It is a participation situation. So I need you on your feet. On your feet. Now, who knows what a boy noise is? A boy noise, right? There are these things, there are these noises that I'm not trying to be sexist. I'm sure that there are females who can make these noises as well. But, you know, like bombs going off and, you know, like gunfire, that kind of thing. So I need a time machine noise. So because we're going into a time machine, I don't know if you knew that. Audacious, amongst its many talents, has also produced a time machine, but I need a time machine noise, like a button or something like that. Who's good at that? Give me a hand. Give me a wave. I'm looking in the youth section because somebody's got to have a time machine noise. Do you want to give it a go? Come on, run out front. Come on. Time is money. Come on up. Come on up. Do you want to jump up here? Can you do that? Hey. So what's your name?
Josiah.
Okay, so we need a time machine noise, okay? Because we're going to press a button, we're going to go somewhere. Not yet, guys. Haven't pressed the button yet. Okay, you ready? All right, it's got to be good. Think about it. You got it? Anything. Anything you want it to be. All right? Ready? Awesome. Awesome. Do you want to do it again? All right. All right. It was good. Give him a hand, everybody. Okay. I liked it. I liked it. We're now in another time, another place. We're not in Manchester anymore. And welcome to those who are with us online, to all of our campuses who are watching online by the media of technology. We are now in another time and place. We are now on the banks of the Jordan River. That's the river. And we are standing with all of God's people. We have spent 40 years in the wilderness, ladies and gentlemen. And now we are on the banks of the Jordan River. We have the promised land in front of us. We have the wilderness behind us. And now the word has gone out throughout the camp that now is the time to step into the promise of God. This territory that God has given to his people, promised through hundreds of years, and they're on the precipice of stepping into the promised land. Can you imagine? Can you feel the heat of the Middle Eastern sun? Can you feel the anticipation, the excitement, perhaps the consternation of what is about to take place? Everybody stood shoulder to shoulder waiting for what is about to happen. We are now going into the book of Joshua. Somewhere here in my notes. Chapter 3, verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites, you and me, set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. I want you to remember that line, never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it, Joshua told the people. Consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priest, take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. I'm going to jump to verse 8. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here. Listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you are to know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. This is what's going to happen today. By the end of this service, you are going to know where we are as a church and where we are going. You are going to know who you are and what you were made for, and that you are going to have this fresh sense of calling, a fresh sense of purpose, a fresh sense of courage, a fresh sense of confidence to step into everything that God has given to you. You can turn to the person next to him, high five, and say, this is going to be good, as you take your seats. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the fade. You're going to have a fresh sense of confidence, a fresh sense of boldness, holy boldness that comes from having a fire in your belly, that comes from God, the being set apart for God and for his purpose. Let's orientate ourselves. In order to know where you're going and where we are going as a church, you have to know where you are. You have to know where you've come from. So let's just take a stock for a moment. For the Israelites, they were stood on the banks of the Jordan River at their forefront, at their 12. Right in front of them is the promised land. At their 6, behind them is the wilderness, a place they have lived in now for 40 years. To the side of them are their brothers and sisters, their community, their tribe, their elders, the younger ones, and everything in between. All stood ready on the banks of the Jordan River, and directly in front of them is the Ark of the Covenant. It's where the presence of God would come and meet with Moses in the camp. This is the presence of God that goes before them. And what I want you to know is that this is like a prophetic picture for us as a church. It's like a perpetual prophetic picture, because we are always on the precipice of what God has promised. We are always stepping into what God has said, what God has ordained, what God has purposed. All of the inheritance that God has given us through Jesus is always, we're stepping into more. Behind us is always what has been. It's the good stuff. It's the bad stuff. It's all of the stuff that we have known. It's our experience. It's our strengths. It's our personality. It is all of the things that we know that we know. That we know who we are and we know how we work and we know how things are. We know what church is like. We've done church. We know how it works. You know that you come in, you sing your songs, you sit down and you listen to the word. You kind of, you know how this thing works. And then on the left and the right, you understand that you are part of a tribe. You are part of a body of people, a spiritual community. We talk about family a lot in church, that we are a family. But you have to understand something. We're not just any family. We are God's family. And what happens is that this family is a missional family. It is a family that is constantly on the move. It's constantly stepping into the territory that God has given to it. You see, for the Israelites, it was a very specific territory. But for the church of God, the family of God, audacious. For us, it is bigger than that. The Bible says, therefore, no, let's back up a verse. Jesus, having been resurrected, meets his disciples and he says, all authority in Matthew 28 has been given to me. Therefore, go into all the world. That's your territory. All the nations, preach the gospel. You know, disciple the nations. Teach them what I have commanded. And surely I am with you till the end of the age. We are a church that is on mission. We've been given a mission. We've been given a territory. And instead of the Ark of the Covenant, no one knows where it went. It's lost. Unless Raiders of the Lost Ark is true. But we've got something better. We've got the Spirit of the living God living amongst us. No longer is it represented and there he came in a box. No, he came through his son Jesus, who died on a cross and made a way for each and every one of us by his blood to become blameless and clean and acceptable and adopted into the family of God. And by his Spirit, through Pentecost, empowered the church in order to be his witnesses, in order to be his ambassadors, in order to be this missional community that is here to take territory. That is who you are. If you have a relationship with Jesus, if you have made him your Lord and your Savior, then you are now adopted into this team. A team that's got a purpose, a team that plays to win. And so this is where we are. But I want you to also understand that for the Israelites, between the wilderness and the promised land was something called the Jordan River. And the Jordan River was in flood. Between what God has promised you and promised us as a church, and where we have come from, there will always be impossibility. There will always be an obstacle. There will always be something intimidating. There will always be a voice in your head that says, this is not the time. You are not the person. You are not, you have no authority here. You have no power here. You need to stay back and you need to stay where you are and you need to know your place and you need to be quiet. And this is what we were made for. You know? We live in a society where we talk about safe places. You ain't built for safe places. In fact, there is only one safe place, and that is with the presence of God. With the presence. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You lay a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I don't need to run. I don't need to hide. I now need to stick my head in the sand. I stand in the presence of my enemies because the Lord is with me. And surely goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life. I'll tell you where goodness and love is. It's on the battlefield. It's me facing my intimidation. It's you stepping into the promises of God. It's us as a church that says, I defy every voice, every enemy that says that the church cannot move forward. We are an unstoppable force if we stand behind the presence of God. There is nowhere we cannot go. There is nothing that God cannot do. This is who we are. This is what we were born for. This is why we were made. Born again by the Spirit of God. They talk about being triggered. Can I tell you? The enemy is triggered. He wants to hold you back, and he wants to hold us back as a church. He wants to intimidate. He wants to put obstacles in place. He's triggered. He hates the plans and the purposes of God. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done in my life. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done in the life of my children. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in the life of my family. Let your kingdom come and the will be done in the life of my business. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my community. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done in our society. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done and let your glory fill the earth. That's the plan. That's the purpose. That's what we were made for. And we have our own triggers. The enemy is triggered, and we have our own triggers. If I was the devil, I would make the people of God, this missional team, these carriers of the presence of God, these ones who stand on the word of God, I would make them believe that this is a time of peace when it's a time of war. The Bible says that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. There are authorities. There are demonic authorities over nations, demonic authorities over regions, and they war against faith, war against what God wants to do on the planet. We are a possessing people. We take territory. What does that look like, Pastor Sove? Are we like, you know, buying up land? I encourage you to do so. But it's people. In the promised land, it's people. People who don't know the Lord. People who don't know what they were born for. People who don't understand what this life is about. Who don't know that they can be forgiven, that don't know that they can be made clean, that don't know this hope that we have, this peace that we have, this power that we have as part of the family of God. Therefore, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. This is what we're about. This is what we do. The enemy has its trigger. He's been triggered. He's doing all he can. Disappointment, discouragement, intimidation, all of his weapons and his toolery. But we also have triggers. We have our praise, prayer and fasting. We've been doing it for 21 days. The word of God, like a sword, two-edged sword, These are our weaponry, and they are more than enough for what we need to do. We are a possessing people, and we are a praising people, and we are a fighting people. So you have to know that as a church, this is where we stand, constantly with the promise, with the mission, what God has done, what has happened, and with the presence of God. Now, one thing that I said I wanted you to remember is that in this passage it says you have never been this way before. So what do you do when you've got impossibility between you and what God has promised, between us as a church and our mission? There's always going to be this barrier, but there's also the unknown. We've never been this way before. We've never been in this situation, in the sense that we've never faced this flooded river before. You've gone through other rivers. God has been good and he's taken you through other rivers. But this is a new river. This is a new obstacle. We've never been this way before. So what do, church? Life becomes very simple. It becomes very, very focused. The Bible says to the Israelites, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to look for the presence of God, listen to the words of God, and when you see the presence of God moving, then you are to move with it. You are to move with him, since you have never been this way before. You're not to fix the problem. You're not to try to work it out with your logic and with your rationale. No. This is not the time for reason, church. This is unreasonable. We are an unreasonable people. When you might say to yourself, but this is illogical, Pastor Sove. The Israelites, I'm sure, were thinking the same thing as you, saying, this is not right. This is not the right time. I love your passion, Joshua. I love your enthusiasm. But let's be honest. Let's be rational. Let's be logical. Surely this isn't the right time. There can't be the right time. There's a flooded Jordan. Let's wait until it goes down. That will make much more sense, don't you think? Or maybe we go back. Maybe we go back into the wilderness, cut down some trees, put a little raft together, and let's see if that can take millions of people across a flooded Jordan into the promised land. No. If you're thinking about your life and thinking about God's promises and looking at your circumstances and saying, Lord, this is impossible. I don't think it's going to be a goer. I think I need to wait. I think I need to put my ducks in a row. I think I need to wait till my bank account, is at a level where I can move forward. That's not how God works. Said to Gideon, you're going to deliver your people, but you've got too many men. I always say this, I'm sure that in warfare, too many men is not a thing. No, said no one ever. Got too many men. Oh, it's embarrassing. No. God was very specific to Gideon. He says, I need you to go with 300 men against thousands, because I want you to know that it is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I want you to know that the way forward is not because you made a way. It's because I made a way. He makes a way where there is no way. He brings springs in the desert. He brings down mountains. He raises up valleys. He makes a way plain for the people of God. Come on now. We are a supernatural people. Seek 365 times it says in the Bible, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. So though I'm standing in this situation, I'm between a rock and a hard place, Lord. It doesn't look feasible. It doesn't look rational. It doesn't look logical. It doesn't look possible. But this is where God says, stay with me. Just stick with me. Just look for me. Listen to my words and follow me. Woo! Oh, yeah. I love it. Come on now. Jesus says to his disciples, I'm gonna die. Peter takes him aside. I've just told you and everybody else that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What are you talking about? You're going to die. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You know nothing of the things of God. You have to understand what you were born for. It's why we've been given a sword. It's why we've got the Word of God. What do you think? Because we're in a battle. Because we have an adversary. Because we were made to fight. Having done all our stand. What is God saying? I tell you what he's saying. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. You know, there were some disciples. Jesus is walking through the crowd and he's saying to some people, follow me, follow me, follow me. One disciple says to him, I will follow you, Jesus. But first, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said, follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. What does this mean? Now, there's two options. Either his father was dead, and for some reason, he's left him and gone to be where Jesus is. Or the second option is that his father was dying. It's like when God speaks, no delay. We stay with him. If he moves to the front, we move to the front. If he moves to the side, we move to the side. If he moves, but there's no postponement in the kingdom because we're in war. But we've never been this way before, and that's why I said, how do you operate? Well, first and foremost, you have to understand that you are not alone. Yes, we have territory. We've been given territory as his people. In our individualistic society, it makes us think that we have to be some sort of, you know, self-made success, that we have to make our own life and we have to, it's our destiny. And even in the preaching of how we portray God's plans and purposes, we may talk to you as an individual. God has plans and purposes for you. And I remember when I was a young Christian, I was like, oh, what is it? Just speak to me, Lord. What is it? I've been born again for a purpose. Just, what is it? Oh. Do you know what I mean? Is it a profession? What is it? What? You know, but that's not it. He has a plan and a purpose for the church. That's why last year we spent so much time talking about vision and talking about mission. It's everybody has a part to play within the spiritual community of the church. We do this together, not alone, shoulder to shoulder. There are some people in this place that are an answer to your prayer because you weren't supposed to do this life on your own. There are businesses in here, Peel, and you've got gaps. You've got resource, deficit. And I'm just saying, could it be that in this room there is somebody who's got the answer to that prayer? There are, he says, he puts the lonely in families. There are deficits in our relationships. Could it be that in this room there will be fathers and mothers and uncles and brothers and sisters and children? We don't do this life alone. We do it together. Oh, tonight, church, we're going to do part two of this message, and it's going to be all about consecration, because before we move forward, God says something very specific to his people. He says, consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. And we're going to be doing that tonight. That is about setting ourselves apart, because part of moving forward is leaving stuff behind. It's a big deal. Oh, Father, I come against every lie of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, I break every stronghold in this place. And I declare, Lord God, an open heaven in this place. Thank you, Lord. So, we've got to leave some stuff behind. There's a lot of stuff to leave. Not only does the enemy put obstacles in our path, impossibility to move forward, but he'll use everything in his arsenal to pull you back. Nostalgia? Oh, wasn't it good? Wasn't it good back there? Oh, you know, I knew my neighbours. I knew where my tent went. You know, and I knew where the manna was going to be. Every morning, got up, picked up my manna. It was just lovely. Predictable, routine. You know, I used to get together with all my friends and we'd have games night and it was just so lovely. And God did everything in the wilderness. Oh, it was a magical place. We just had to go to the man of God, Moses, and go, Moses, we hungry. I don't want manna. No. We want meat. And Moses would be like, Lord. And God would fly in this flock of quail and just place it in front of their little tents. Deep, like this. Didn't have to kill it. Didn't have to look for it. Didn't have to do anything. God just brought it. Oh, Lord. Moses, I'm thirsty. It's just, this place is dry. At least when we were slaves, we had meat. At least when we were slaves, we had water. Moses, Lord, makes water come out of rocks. Phew. The wilderness, some real, like, serious stuff went down. Really serious. Some people were not good. They turned their backs on God. They complained and all sorts of things, and they did a false idol and bad, really bad. And the ground opened up and swallowed them. Oops. It was amazing. And then the Midianites tried to curse God's people. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. But then the Midianite women seduced the men of Israel to worship their God. And a plague breaks out. There's a lot of stuff going down in the wilderness. People cry out to God, make it stop, this plague. And God says to Moses, This is the way it's going to happen. You needed to kill all the leaders of the people who got seduced by the Midianite women. Not the people who got seduced, the leaders of those who got seduced. Whew. So we have a leadership development program in Audacious Church. Really encourage you to get on that. 5 minutes. What's happened? Anyway. So stuff's gone down and God has shown himself strong and it's just been crazy. We had our first pass at the promised land, but we sent 12 spies to check it out and 10 of them came back and basically infected the population with fear. And to the point where they were so contaminated that God couldn't take them into the promised land. And they had to wait for the infection to die out. And now this was their second pass. But I want to talk to you about intimidation. I want to talk to you about everything that wars against you. The stuff that wants to pull you back, we're going to deal with that tonight. But I want to deal with the stuff that's in front of you. The voice that says it's not for you. If they really knew who you were, they wouldn't. They wouldn't even think that you were able to step into the God life. No. They don't know what you've done. You know, or maybe it's you're not qualified. Maybe you're not qualified. You haven't got the strengths. Maybe you're too intimidated by your own inadequacy, your own low self-esteem, your own mistakes. But can I say that your mistakes and the guilt and shame of your mistakes will hold you back? Jesus has dealt with that on the cross. Whenever we ask for forgiveness, wipe clean. But it's also your successes that will hold you back. Oh, the glory days. That's why we're saying in our church, these are the glory days. We thank God for what he's done, but our God is continually moving. He's continually doing something new. Isaiah says, in Isaiah, God speaks and he says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it? And do you know what it looks like? Impossibility. Oh, that's what you were born for. That's why the Spirit of God has been given. Because we're here to live a supernatural life, not a good life, not a nice life, not a polite life, an impossible life. And all we have to do is just stay with the Lord. We fix our eyes on you. Would you stand with me, church? Do you know what? The instruction to the Israelites was get the Levitical priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant and get them to stand in the river. Don't you love that? The Bible says that through Jesus, we are now a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We don't need somebody else to take the presence of God. We take the presence of God with us as a people. And what I want to teach you this morning is I want you to teach you that you step into your intimidation with the presence of God. You use your trigger. Prayer and fasting, the word of God, and you lift up the name of Jesus. You see, in this room, it's really like, it's confusing. You know why? Because this is quiet. But your intimidation is not quiet. It's loud and it's convincing and it's accusing and it tells you really convincingly that this is not the time, but there is a voice higher than those that those facts and that, you know, unshakable and unchanging thing in your life. No, 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 there is a voice higher than that, greater than that, stronger than that, that's saying, come on, just come on. Stick with me, stay with me, because tomorrow I'm going to do amazing things. You can't see it, it's out of your vision, but I'm going to make a way where there is no way. He is the way maker. There was an impossibility where we could not be in relationship with Jesus and our God because of our sin. But Jesus made a way. He became a curse on a tree. He broke his own body. He shed his own blood. And the barrier between you and God was torn in two. He will make a way through this obstacle. There is nothing too hard for our God. Somebody say, there is nothing too hard. He is greater. His name is greater. And we're about to lift up the name of Jesus above our intimidation. I want you in your imagination to stand in the water. What is it? What is it that wars against you? What is it that wars against us as a church? I tell you now, we will not be silent. We will not be stopped. We will not compromise. We will not dilute who we are. We will not compromise on our mission. We will not compromise on the word. We will not compromise on the fact that there are people on the other side of your obedience, of your faith, of your ability to stand in the midst of your intimidation. Somebody did it for you. Somebody stood in the midst of their intimidation so that you could know the Lord, so that you could lift up your hands, so that you could know His name, so that you could know what it is to be a child of God. Somebody did it for you. Now it's your turn. All right, we're going to praise God. Are we standing in the water? Come on, this is a rallying cry. Audacious Church, all hands on deck. Everybody, everybody.
Only you can do. We need your presence, Lord. Fill our hearts with holy fire. Come and do what only you can do.
Okay, wait. Let's go from the beginning. We give you all the praise.
We give you all the praise. You are welcome in this place.
Come on.
Come and do what only you can do.
anyone got a praise? I need my people who've got a praise. Jesus, the name that is above every name. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. High and lifted up. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. You have authority over all things. All things have been placed under your feet. We lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, I want to hear your voice. Jesus. Oh, I tell you what. We're only just scratching the surface. Hey, buddy. We're only scratching the surface, church. I need you to come back tonight. I need you to come back tonight because I'm telling you what, there's more. There is a lot more. And this is a rallying cry for our church. We've done 21 days of prayer and fasting. And we've pressed the trigger. So now we're going to step in to everything that God has for us. Father, I just commission every person in this place. I pray a blessing upon them. I pray a blessing of your plans and your purposes. I pray a blessing of confidence and courage. I pray a blessing of the power of the Holy Spirit and of the Word of God to be their anchor, to be their foundation. I pray a blessing of the name of Jesus to be their light and to be their guide. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.